Our next guest is an associate professor of Canadian literature at the University of Victoria, as well as a novelist, poet, and musician. His most recent book is a collection of essays about hockey and literature edited by Richard Harrison called Now is the Winter, Thinking About Hockey. Here to talk to us today about teaching Alice Munro stories is Jamie Dopp. Please welcome Jamie Dopp.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us. I'm going to start with an unfair, perhaps even cruel question, given how prolific Alice Munro is. But can you give us a bit of an overview of her work since her first book of short stories was published in 1968?
Okay. So 1968, Dance of the Happy Shades came out, won the Governor General's Award, and Alice Munro was an overnight literary sensation. But, of course, people who know the history know that that didn't happen overnight at all. And that first book has, I think, 15 stories in it. And she started writing the stories in the early 1950s. So really the sort of 15 stories over 15-plus years to get to that book. And that book remains, it seems to me, one of the great Canadian books. There's three or four stories in it that are still amongst her most beloved stories. After that, I was actually looking up in my copy of Dear Life, her most recent book, yesterday, and there's 12 collections, new collections over about 45 years, and two selected. And I guess I'd say two things about the larger arc. Sheila used the word evolution, and I do think there's a subtle evolution in her work that's very interesting. You know, Munro is famous for returning to similar landscapes and similar kinds of people in the books, but there's a subtle evolution that happens in her work, and different periods of her career, she gets into the stories in different ways. I mean, I really admired how she can make her material kind of fresh and surprising all the time, because you think it's a familiar landscape, but there's something new. And then I guess the other thing I would say is just, I get asked the question quite often, you know, if I'm going to read Alice Munro, which book should I pick? And I usually just say pick any one. She's, again, incredibly remarkable for how consistently good her books are. Every single one has wow stories in it. And I think you can start anywhere and just kind of explore.
When did you first read Alice Munro? Do you recall your first impressions?
When I was 17, just like Sheila. I was in high school and aspiring writer, and I heard about Alice Munro, so I went out and I found a used copy of Dance of the Happy Shades, and I tried to read it, and I have to say I didn't like it. I think my favorite book at the time was Lord of the Rings. Yeah. And I was interested in the lives of girls and women in theory,
right?
But in practice I was scared. But I recognized, even then, at 17, I recognized there was something there that I needed to know, both as a person and as a writer. And then, of course, I went on and did what you do as an aspiring academic. You do your degrees, and I read Munro, and I admired her, but I didn't have a really strong emotional connection until, I'd say, mid-1990s. I was teaching contemporary Canadian course at UVic, and I thought, okay, well, I've never taught a full book by Alice Munro. Why don't I do that? And so I picked The Progress of Love. And in order to teach, of course, you have to read as much as you can, and intensely. So I really read intensely, and I read as much as I could. And I had one of those moments. It's hard to describe. It's like it happens with art sometimes. It's like a moment of grace. There's the word. You know, when, for reasons you can't entirely explain rationally, you just have a sense of a light going on. And I felt like I had this connection. And then I just became a voracious reader of her. And I went back to Lives and Girls and Women, and I just love that book, too. I mean, I really related to Del Jordan. It was like, all of a sudden, you know, there you go. That was, from that point on, I've taught her pretty much every time I've taught that contemporary course.
So how do you choose then, when you're teaching that contemporary course, how do you choose which book or which stories? Because it strikes me as kind of a difficult choice.
Well, if it's a course with an anthology, you pick the anthology stories. And with Munro, that's always wonderful because the stories that are typically anthologized, Boys and Girls, Walker Brothers Cowboys, Red Dress 1946, they're all great stories. So you can do great things with them. For the contemporary course, you know, I have like the best job in the world. My contemporary course is the really cool books I read last summer. So I would read her new book and wait for it to come out in paperback and then look to teach it. So I've taught pretty well all of them. I have not taught Dear Life because I haven't taught that course in a couple of years, but it's definitely on my radar.
When you do teach a course, what do you hope your students get out of her stories? Is there something specific or at least universal to all her stories, or does it really depend on which story you choose?
A little both. I think a couple things. I mean, again, Sheila mentioned the depth of understanding of people in her stories. And I find with young people, they have a desperate craving to talk seriously about the big issues of being a person. And, you know, what does it mean to love? How do we cope with loss? Like, Monroe has some of the most amazing stories about coping with loss. I actually resisted teaching the book Runaway for a while because I think that title story that's like the saddest story in all of literature. And it just breaks my heart. And yet, what's brilliant about her, of course, is that she writes about people coping. You think, how could somebody live on after that experience? But her characters do. And that's, I think, a great thing for kids to talk about. And then the other thing, of course, is technique. With Monroe, she's a writer's writer. Actually, I was at a reading in Victoria, I don't know, half a dozen years or so ago with Thomas McGuane, mm-hmm. the American writer. And after the reading, somebody from the audience asked inevitably the question that you get as a writer, which is, who do you read? And he went right away, well, Alice Monroe. She's the greatest living writer in the world. And of course, Thomas McGuane is like one of those American writers' writers, right? And for him to say that in that way was, I thought, a great compliment. You can learn so much about the nature of fiction by studying her work. And I love how they appear kind of simple on the surface sometimes, but if you give them the right attention, they open up into these amazing constructions, and students really respond to that.
You mentioned Runaway. You were reluctant at first to teach it. Yeah. Did you teach it at some point?
I did, yes.
And what was that like? What how did the students respond?
They had trouble because, I don't know if you know the story, but in that story, the daughter runs away, and we're so conditioned by the structure of narrative that we have all inherited to expect that the story will be resolved, that the daughter will be found, there will be a reconciliation between the mother and the daughter. This is a spoiler, obviously, but in that story, it never happens. And you go through one anticipation after another. And I think, of course, what was interesting about it from the point of view of the students was they were thinking about it not just from the side of the parent, which is what I was doing, but from the side of the young person who had run away. And so we had a very rich discussion about it and about the question of how you would go on in life. And of course, I love how Monroe's characters never fall into being so scarred or victimized by their experiences that they can't carry on. I think she's really fascinated by how people care. I think of Dell at the end of Lives of Girls and Women, where her boyfriend thinks he's her, the love of her life, and he kind of sexually assaults her in the water at the end. And she just pushes him off, and she's like, oh, how could he have thought that he could control me like that? And she's like, I've got a life to live. I'm going on to live my life. And her characters always have that little something in them. And even in Runaway, though it's heartbreaking, there's something about the way that the woman persists. I think that's really amazing.
Have you ever been surprised by any of your students' response to her stories?
Well, you're constantly surprised. If you're, you know, one of the great things about being a teacher is, hopefully, if it's a good course, you're changed by it yourself. And I'm not sure I can think of a specific instance, but often students will pick out details in stories that you don't recognize the significance of yourself. I'm trying to think of an example. Well, I mean, there's one story called My Mother's Dream, which is in, I think it's in the same collection as Save the Reaper, isn't it? The last story, yeah, of the love of a good woman. Yeah, and there's a really interesting dream at the beginning with some the details of white snow and things. And I do remember some students kind of drawing my attention to how that snow imagery connected to the certain senses of loss in the story. So yeah, there are places, and of course people come to the stories from different sets of experience, and that's a great thing about great literature, is that there's a lot of different ways into the stories, and the students often bring new perspectives.
In terms of her legacy, then, what would you say has been Alice Munro's biggest contribution to literature overall?
Overall, wow. Do I have to pick one?
No. I don't think you
well,
do.
Well, I think a couple of things. I mean, first, again, as Sheila said, this depth of understanding of people. I mean, we're hardwired by evolution to be really interested in other people, because that's how we survive and thrive. You have to be able to find love, acquire the attention of others to survive. And her work is so amazing for how it helps us to understand other people. There's the technical side as well, her technique. I think maybe the biggest thing is, as a Canadian, I think the best artistic traditions are the traditions that give you permission to tell your own story and to create your own art. And I think for a number of writers who came after Munro, her work operates that way. It's like, yeah, Wingham. Great literature comes out of Wingham. Well, I could tell the stories of my place. I could tell the stories of my time. And I think she's like that.
Jamie Duff, thank you. Thanks for joining us at Before Club. Jamie Dopp is an associate professor of Canadian literature at the University of Victoria.